Hello and welcome to another one more of many episodes of Teaching Restored, where we help teachers of the gospel of Jesus Christ learn how to teach, learn the ins and outs, what to do, what not to do, and a lot from our misexperiences. Would you call them misexperiences?
Errors,
our missteps, and some from the things that we've learned along the way as well. I'm Kevin Jones.
I'm Julie Hilliard.
And so this is a really exciting episode for me. And I love this because so let me give the preface to this. Excuse me. Here's what happened. Julie was on the Leading Saints podcast. And that came out about April 10th-ish, somewhere around there. 9th, 10th, 8th, 9th, somewhere in there. And first of all, she didn't even tell me that it came out. And I was like, okay, Julie.
I just didn't even know.
I know, I'm giving you a hard time. So I listened to the day after it came out. And I was like, wow, this is good. Wow. Oh, my goodness. So if you haven't heard that yet, go to Leading Saints as well and pick up that episode where Julie and Kurt Frankham, they're all gabbing. And if you don't know Leading Saints, which I know some haven't heard of, and I don't know how that's even possible, go there.
You should.
Yeah, absolutely. 100%. Yeah. You need to.
And if they go back a few episodes, they're also going to find that Kevin Jones was interviewed. I know. Sorry.
That's right. Yes.
And yes. It was phenomenal.
And it was a great time. But when I was listening to yours, I knew exactly what we needed to talk about today, what we needed to record for this episode right here. And it happened about 4/5 of the way through, about 80% of the way through, you started talking about something that I found really, really interesting and something that I had never even thought of before. I mean, this was like brand new territory for me, 100%. Oh my goodness.
Okay, I literally don't even know what you're talking about right now. And I'm trying to rewind the conversation in my brain to figure out what it might be.
You don't know. Okay, here we go.
No, I don't.
So I have never gone back. Okay, so we've talked about this before, double loop learning, where you take something. Single loop learning is where you take something, you make an assumption or you have a fact or something like that. And then you make a decision on that fact or make something relevant on that fact and you move forward. Double loop is when you go back and challenge the assumption for which you made that decision, right? Yeah. So it's going way back. I have never considered what is the purpose of comments in a class.
Oh, yes. Yes.
I've never, and
it was something Kurt said that prompted this, I bet, right?
I don't remember who prompted it.
Oh, I know. Okay. Yes. I love this. Okay. I know what you're talking about.
So this was, I was like, duh. Oh my goodness. What is the purpose of comments? What? I mean, it's like fish and water, right? It's just there. It happens. So I've never even considered why do we even allow comments or what should be the purpose? Mm-hmm. We just naturally just let it happen. And as I started going through it, I was like, oh my goodness. If we are able to understand the purpose of comments, bless you, Julie.
So sorry. I tried so hard to hold that in.
It's allergies.
I don't know what happened. I tried so hard and it just came out. I'm sorry.
This is real life, people.
I know. Sorry. Was it far enough away that it didn't?
It wasn't crazy loud. Not at all.
Oh my gosh.
That's pretty funny.
I deserve to be made fun of for that.
No, you're good. You're good. Nothing's on you, so you're good.
Thank you. Thank you.
Yes. But if we can understand the purpose of comments, and then when we understand that, then everything that we're doing when it comes to comments in that context is trying to get comments of those type, not of allowing any kind of comments, which you've said, you know, you've had difficulties in the past with. I've had difficulties in the past. I think everyone has, right? The comment comes out of the blue. Well, that fell flat. And you talked about learner councils in a previous discussion as well, which I love that concept overall. Yeah. Let's talk about comments. Let's go back and not assume that comments are even needed and figure out what are the purpose of comments. Actually, I went through so many. I started taking notes on this. I don't know if you can do this now. I just found out this morning as I was preparing for this that on Apple Podcasts, can now look at the transcription of it on your phone.
What?
And so I went down to in the transcription to that spot, and you can tap on the word and it will start playing from that word.
Oh.
So and rather than me scrubbing and trying to find it, I just went down and found the text and went, oh, okay, there. And so I went there and I started playing it, and you brought up so many different nuances. And then I added a couple different nuances to comments that I took several pages of notes and started exploring some things. And so today is more of an exploration. Today is a let's discuss comments. Let's discuss the ins and outs. And I don't know what we're going to learn. I don't have anything that we're going to come out with definitively, but I know that as I went through it, I learned a ton. And so I'm hoping that as we go through it, that the Spirit's going to touch every one of you who are listening in a different way to say, here's what you need to focus on in your class or with your kids or with your investigators or whomever on the role of comments for you and how to get good comments.
So let me ask, as you're thinking this through, which by the way, I just found it. That's amazing.
Pretty cool.
Wowza. But so when you said, you know, with your kids, I started thinking about if we call them comments, then we're going to kind of in our minds, maybe mentally alienate, if you will, the conversations that we're having with our kids. And so maybe it's not just comments. Maybe it's dialogue.
Maybe it's dialogue.
Right. And so here's a definition of dialogue from Crucial Conversations.
Okay.
Is, I think, so appropriate here. It's the free flow of meaning between two or more people. So it's not, and I think at the very, like on one of our first episodes, I may have mentioned this, that there's a big difference between meaning and information. And meaning is getting at what like the information means to that person. So specifically when you're thinking about scripture study or gospel topics, you're not trying to just get your kids to regurgitate. You're not trying to just get your class to regurgitate. You're not trying to get people to use all the cliche phrases or say what you want to hear. Instead, you're trying to get at their meaning. And then you're trying to add your meaning to what we'll call in from Crucial Conversations, a shared pool of meaning. Mm-hmm. And so I think, you know, as kind of a framework mentally, we can think of comments as being the stuff that people are adding to the shared pool of meaning. Does that sound like an appropriate framework?
Yes. Okay. So that kind of goes to part of what I wanted to talk about, and that what's the difference between comments and dialogue?
Okay. So, and dialogue based on the definition that I just brought up?
Sure.
Okay. So the free flow of meaning, right?
Right.
So what's the difference between a comment?
Or is there a difference? Or, I mean, and obviously there can be, but should there be?
So when you say that initially, my first thought is that I want comments to be that.
Okay. 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 That's exactly what I was thinking as well.
Okay.
Because I think we can, as a teacher of the gospel, I think if we think of comments, it is a tit for tat. I do this, you teach, right? But if we think of a dialogue,
I make a comment, you teach.
Yes. But if we think of a dialogue, that isn't tit for tat.
No, not at all.
Right? So maybe if we're thinking about comments themselves, maybe we're thinking about it all wrong, period.
Period. That's a great point, because if you think about it, so this happens naturally for me, but I think it might be unique, and I'm not trying to say, oh, because I'm so good or anything like that. I think it's just that I'm kind of a bit of a nerd and I get a little bit like tunnel vision sometimes, but like when somebody makes a comment, I want to comment on the comment, and that's dialogue, right? That's kind of this back and forth. I don't want to ever just let the comment ding, 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 dangle out there in the classroom with no grounding. And I feel like the back and forth helps to give it roots, helps to kind of bring it back to what we're talking about. But it also allows for some back and forth from the person who made the comment. It doesn't have to just be, you made your comment, check, you're done, shut your mouth.
Right. And there's a big difference between the two, right? If we're a teacher and we go into class thinking, all right, I need to limit comments, and we're in the comment mode, we're not in the dialogue mode. We're not in the shared meaning mode. Oh. We're in the, I am the teacher and I am allowing you to say something. Oh, you know, my surf here or whatever you comment out, right?
I permit you to speak.
That's right. Please go ahead. And now you're done. But at the same time, we do in a way have to think about comments in and of themselves as to how do we make this more dialogue light? Like what kind of comments or dialogue do we want to have? What does that actually look like? So we do need to look at kind of both of those, but I think that there's a big distinction that we need to be thinking about at the same time as we go through this whole discussion. So let me ask you, I went on this exploration this morning, and when I was listening to this, I had to go through and had to stop listening to you so that I could go through my thoughts of different things, different questions that were coming up to me.
That's so fun. I love it when I'm listening to a podcast or something and I have to pause it a lot.
I know it.
It makes me so happy.
Yeah. It drives me crazy at the same time.
I know. It totally drives me nuts, but it makes me so happy. Like if I'm running and I have to pause and rewind, it's so annoying. I'm like my phone.
No, that not skip, not time. Skip. Okay. Let's explore. What are the different forms of comments? What forms do comments take?
I think I need a pen because I can be writing stuff down while you're... What forms do comments take?
Let me
I think give you need to help me a little bit.
Yeah, let me give you a primer.
Sure. Yeah.
I've written down a few here, and I want you to add even more to what I have here.
Okay.
Comments can take the form of answers to questions.
Okay. Yep. That's good.
All right. It can be a story or an experience to further a point, hopefully to further a point, right? That's the assumption.
To hopefully further a point.
Yeah. Okay. Wink, wink. They could be asking a question.
Okay. Oh, this is good, Kevin. I'm thinking of some now.
Okay, go for it.
They could be adding to what you've said.
Yes.
Okay. So yes. Not even a story or an explanation to further the point. It could be like more information.
Okay. So, okay. Additional information. Okay, good.
Okay. It could be a squirrel, like ADD takes you in a totally different direction. Let's maybe ignore that one and not write it down because we don't
want
to.
Like, no, we want to.
Oh, okay. I'm just going to call it squirrel.
Squirrel. Great.
You know how they say that if you have ADD, you'll be talking along and you'll be like, squirrel.
Yep.
Okay.
Yep.
That's what we're calling it. The squirrels.
Squirrel. Yes.
Okay.
I like that. Yeah. And there's a reason I want to capture that, and we'll talk about that later.
Okay.
Any other come to your mind right off the bat?
Answers to questions, stories or experience, asking a question. I'm trying to think like I'm running through my, like, I think for like digging for something. Does that make sense? Like not asking a question. Oh. Sometimes people will actually go into their scriptures and look up the cross references and make a comment based on, I guess that would be additional information, right?
Mm-hmm,
like
mm-hmm.
building on the point. Okay.
Yeah. Now there's one that you're very, 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 very close to it. And it's not only giving more information, but expressing their thoughts and feelings, even testimony, right?
Okay. And that gets to Kurt's point, I think. I think I know it. Yeah, that makes a ton of sense. Testifying.
Right, testifying.
Okay.
Yes. Okay. So those are the ones that I came up with. Yeah. There might be others, but that's as far as I went with that.
That's a good list.
Okay, now, which are the most valuable out of those, do you think?
Testimony.
Yeah, I think that's at the top of the list. Absolutely.
So I say that, but you know what, Kevin, I'll be totally honest.
I know where you're going.
I know. I feel like I almost feel guilty saying this. I feel I don't in any way mean to be diminishing, but I don't always find as much like, I'm trying to decide how to say this. I guess I'm just going to say it. And then maybe you can rescue me if I sound like a total idiot.
I'll do my best.
I don't always get as much out of that because sometimes when people testify, I feel a little bit like they're just saying words and aren't necessarily sharing feelings. And if they're testifying about something that I don't yet have a testimony of, then it makes me feel bad. Mm. And so I think that sometimes I don't get quite as much out of someone just saying, you know, I can testify at this point. I think I get more out of it. And maybe this is part of it. I get more out of it when they're sharing their heart. Like when they're sharing their soul, not just, I can testify that this is true. And sometimes people will do that. Yes. They'll just, you know what I mean? And so there is a way of testifying of something that feels so authentic. And then there is a way of testifying something that doesn't necessarily bring the group with you.
Right. Okay. So I've been thinking about prayer lately, right?
Me too. Have
you?
Yes, like legit. Wait until we record our next podcast.
Great. I'm excited because I've really been thinking about this. There's a child's prayer. And then there is a teenager prayer, you know, typical. Then there's
my prayer. Oh, I started singing when you said a child's prayer. Heavenly Father.
And then, and then there's my prayer. And then
is that an adult prayer?
That's an adult prayer, yeah. Well,
are you sure?
Come on, look at me. That may not be an adult prayer after all. Okay.
It's a Kevin prayer.
Yeah, it's a Kevin prayer. We went to pick my daughter up from a mission, DC South mission. Shout out to DC South people and met some incredible people there. Love meeting her people, the people she taught and people from the wards. It was Easter and we were invited into a home on Easter night to have Easter dinner with a family. And it was wonderful. They were a fabulous couple. Loved them. And as we left, he goes, do you mind if we have a prayer? I thought, how cool. How nice. Yeah. So we all knelt down. And his prayer was like, I can't pray like that. Where did that come from? I want to pray like that. And I can't. It was awesome. And I feel like testimonies are the same way, right? Yeah. When we comment in a class and we bear testimony, there are so many different ways that can be done. And so one of the things that we can have a little bit of an influence on, I think, is how we might share our testimonies. Because it's not always, I testify that this is true. Sometimes it's just telling my story. And that in and of itself is my testimony.
Yes.
Right? It's heartfelt. This is what I went through. This is my experience. This is what I've learned. Yeah.
Yep.
And that is my testimony. I don't have to say, I testify or I want to bear my testimony, right?
So when you do, sometimes it dilutes it. Let's be honest.
It does. Yes. And so one of the things that I would like to explore someday, maybe on this podcast, maybe not, I don't know, but definitely by myself, if nothing else, is how do I make it so that the environment is there in which the true deep testimonies naturally come out, and I'm going to say this gently. I'm not going to say it gently, but I mean it gently because I'm not very good at gentle speaking sometimes. But how do we make it so that the less, I'm going to say, shallow testimonies? Because I believe everyone can bear a deep testimony. Mm-hmm. I think it's really easy to give a shallow testimony and just blah, 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 and be done, right? Mm-hmm. I think anyone can do that. But I think anyone, no matter if they're brand new members of the church or even investigating or longtime members, can give deep, deep testimonies. How do we bring that, those comments, those testimonies out in people? What can we do as teachers?
To be clear, though, when you're saying deep, deep testimonies, you're talking about emotionally deep, not like deep doctrine or
correct
deep in terms of like content. You're talking about deep into the soul.
Deep into the soul. Yes, okay. Yes, exactly. Deep into the soul, something that we deeply believe.
Yeah.
Because of something, really, testimony comes because of experiences. It doesn't come any other way. It's because of experiences.
Right. So let me ask you a question. Mm-hmm. Do you think that a genuine, deep, heartfelt testimony can include an expression of doubt? And is that appropriate or is that inappropriate?
My thoughts. Can it?
Yes.
Absolutely. Is it appropriate? Maybe.
Kind of depends.
I really think it depends. I think there are some points, some places where it would be inappropriate to do that given the topic, given the people who you're with, etc. But other times, I honestly don't think it happens enough.
Yeah. So part of the reason that I bring that up is because I was thinking about something that happened last night with my son that I loved. And it obviously was not in a public setting. It was in a private setting, but it's kind of bringing this to my mind. I was listening to him and he was telling me what he's not sure about yet. So I doubt may be the wrong word, but like what he's not sure about. Mm-hmm. And then he started to testify about what he is sure about. And it made it so much more powerful because I felt like what he was really saying is that I'm building a foundation. And I was thrilled with the things that he was building the foundation on.
I love it.
And I can tell you that sometimes I get to the end of a class and I know that it's like expected that I will testify about something, but I don't necessarily know how to do that in a non-surfacey way because I'm still working on it myself. I'm still trying to figure it out myself. And so is it more powerful to testify mm-hmm. about what I do know and to include the things I'm still working on? Or is it more powerful to just say what I know I should say?
Right. And how do you know when? Is that just a feeling that you know of when to do that and how?
I think I err on the side of not pretending personally.
Yeah.
So, okay. And I do think it's kind of like that if you go through the motions, eventually you'll get a testimony. And sometimes I do think that there are things that are appropriate to say, you know, I really do think I'm gaining a testimony of this, but I don't think that I would ever say, I know, and try and add extra big words or express it in a way that isn't as genuine. Mm-hmm. And I respect in other people the same kind of authenticity. So I really do try to focus on the things that I do and maybe even be honest about, man, I'm still like, this is something I've worked on for years and I am still in it and I am still working on it. And like, I've got the seeds and I'm starting to have the feels about this part of it, you know?
Right.
I don't know.
I think we all have those, don't we? All have those where we don't know something or our faith can be perfect, right? We've had some things in our family recently where we had to go, how do we deal with this? I don't know that my testimony is perfect in this area. And to be able to talk about that in a family setting has been wonderful.
That's awesome.
It's been really, That's really awesome. Good. And I'm glad your son is able to do that as well.
Yeah. Yeah. I think it's really special. And so then take that though to the classroom or to a larger group setting. So to your point, how do I make the environment such that people's deep, heartfelt testimonies come out? I think it really honestly, and this is just a surface answer, but it goes back to creating psychological safety in that space. Mm-hmm. Like people have to feel like their, you know, tender parts are going to be handled with care by everybody in that classroom. And honest dialogue is a huge and important component to that being the environment you create. In other words, having a class where it's just popcorn comments versus people feeling comfortable adding their meaning you'll feel safer expressing what's truly in your heart, like the deeper parts. My husband has a great term for this and I love it. I was teaching like a communication class in Relief Society the other day for a Relief Society activity. And as we were talking some things through, I was processing how sweet it felt to me that people would take like their tender, tender things and they would hold them out in front of us basically and say, okay, the principles sound great. Here's this really tender thing that I'm wrestling with right now. And I just felt like that was a sacred space because you have to, you know, make sure that everybody in that space is on the same page of trying to then build that person and love that person and kind of put bubble wrap around their heart just a little bit so that you can have honest, instructive, clear, helpful instruction as part of it, but still protect those tender things that they're putting out there. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does. And so if they are putting those out there and you haven't created that safe space for them, they're taking a leap of faith that
they are.
This is hopefully this is a safe space, right? And I think you've seen, and I have seen, I've even been guilty of when someone does that, I may not know how to react.
But do you notice though that people put a toe in first?
Yes. And that's exactly what they're doing. You're right. Yeah. And so it's up to me to make sure that I know how to say, yes, it's safe and we're good and not accidentally ruin the moment and say, whoops, oh yeah, you need to take your toe back out because, you know, I didn't know how to handle that. That was,
or if you, if you treated it like a popcorn comment and you were like, thank you.
I really don't care what you said.
Yeah, that's what it feels like. I mean, literally, you're not saying that, obviously, but that's what it feels like to them. Like if you, as a teacher, view, like we're talking about the role that comments play, right? Mm-hmm. We're talking about what is the purpose of comments and what types of comments are there? Well, if you think about it from a person who's commenting, you have to really understand that so that it can be edifying, so that it can build, so that it can, you know, all those things. But like you as a teacher also have to remember that when people do testify, you know, if you treat it like a popcorn comment versus a dialogue, you're going to shut it down.
Yeah. I love that term popcorn comment because what it did for me is made me think of that the type of comments that are given in a class can be a sort of barometer. Oh, and that I can go, and I ask a question, they give some comments and I can just take that and go, what kind of comments were those? Were those popcorn comments? Maybe I'm not getting where I need to be yet. Okay, I need to work a little bit more. Or, okay, it's progressing. It's getting to that safe space. It's getting to the deeper feels, the testimony. And then, you know, but make that a barometer of where we are in the classroom and how much we're learning by the Spirit.
Okay, this just popped into my head, and I think you kind of made this point, but I want to give words to it again to make sure it's reiterated because I think it's really, really valuable. Okay. I love the idea of thinking of comments as your barometer, as a teacher, looking at the comments that are being made as kind of your temperature check of everything that's going on. And I am thinking in my own experience, for example, that if I am getting popcorn comments, I own that. Like you as a teacher are responsible for that. Nobody else is responsible for that. And so what do you do to get past the popcorn comment phase? Like I'm thinking of our Sunday school class and I'm thinking that, you know, there have been times where it's been both, right? And most often in classes that I've been to all over the place, like when you're visiting places, et cetera, almost always it defaults to popcorn comments.
Mm-hmm. It does.
Right?
I agree with you.
And people are trying to help the teacher. Like that's sometimes their motivation. Oh, let me help the teacher like keep things moving because it's like perfect right here. You know, maybe we should add that to our list. Help the teacher as one of the reasons you would make a comment.
Mm-hmm. Well, so, actually,
Yeah.
That's another question, but keep going. Keep going.
Okay. So, but that's, I think the point that I'm making is that I've never thought of it that way, but I can tell you that there have been times where I didn't even realize I was taking a pulse or didn't even realize I was taking the temperature, but I will stop and I'll be like, okay, guys, I can tell from your comments that what I'm teaching didn't land yet. Like that you didn't understand it.
Right.
Maybe that the wrong point came across. And I've done that. And I've stopped the class and I said, let's go back. Let me try and do better. And I've used it as a clue to myself to course correct. I've totally done that.
I like
and
that.
Then also I've been like, okay, why are we just making surface comments? I said that. <I'm> like, what are we like? Think harder. Like, what can we do to make this? And they are then going, oh, she really gives a rip about what we're saying. We're not just moving the lesson along. We're not just right. So anyway, I don't know if that makes sense, but
no, absolutely. So I think one of the purposes, as you said that, what I got out of it was that one of the purposes of comments from a teacher perspective, not necessarily from the learner perspective, is that barometer. And I could see myself, as you're talking, I could see myself teaching. And as I get comments, my first thing is, what kind of comments are those? Where am I going with that? Okay, yeah. We're on this level. And then my thought, which is what you said, how do I take that to a deeper level?
Right.
But, and that is, I think for me now that I think about it more, is my barometer. That will be my first thought of when I get a comment, what kind of a comment is that?
Right. You know what we ought to do is we ought to kind of sequence these. I mean, not on the spot, but like, what level are you at?
Yeah.
Right. Are you at authentic dialogue or are you still at popcorn comments?
Yes.
And maybe we could do like a little, I'll do it.
Okay. You do that. Okay. I'm going to throw something in here that I don't want to talk about right now, but maybe get to in a few.
Okay.
But because you brought that up,
okay.
As I was listening to the podcast with Kurt on Leading Saints and pausing it, what flashed into my head is that a lot of times the questions I ask will determine what kind of comments they will make.
Duh, right?
I was like, that's exactly what I thought. Duh.
Duh.
How? Okay. Duh. And then with the different types of questions, of course, if I am able to get to the introspective questions, then I'm going to have the introspective answers. Yes.
Totally. Duh.
And folks, then this is my train of thought, at least. So, well, actually, you said it earlier. The types of comments that are made they're completely on me as a teacher.
Right.
It's a reflection of how I have created the class and what I have done. Right. And so if I am able to, as this is only one ingredient, but if I'm able to ask the right questions, then I'm kind of steering into helping them answer in a deeper level rather than popcorn.
100%. Okay, so think about how powerful this is for missionaries. It was interesting because remember I went and did that training for the missionaries, right? And the first time I did it, I walked away and I'm like, cool, that was fun. Like, because I learned so much. Well, what's even more freaking awesome to me right now is that my parents went to, because my dad's in the mission presidency, and they were at a zone conference the other day, and they're like, these missionaries breathe this stuff. And, you know, one of the elders, I think it was one of the APs, got up and he was training them in an exercise about something and just rattled off the different types of questions and then labeled the questions and was asking all the different types of questions. Like, they talk about it as part of their vernacular now in the mission.
No kidding.
Yes. And I thought, that's why it's powerful, because if we're talking about it being a barometer, and we're talking about the fact that we have control over that. Think about with somebody who is just starting to learn about the gospel, the types of dialogue, that you want to have with them, you want their meaning. You don't want information, right? You don't want to be in a conversation with them and have popcorn comments coming back at you. And that's why the types of questions they ask become so critical. And they feel this responsibility to, and this is because I really tried to push this, not, this is the spirit. I don't even think I understood how important this was at the time, that you have to build to that. And so they see the types of questions as paving the path, as this is how, because we want to ask the introspective questions, but you have to prime the pump.
Right.
And so they see that as kind of like the price of entry to be able to ask those introspective questions.
Yes. Yes.
And I think it's the same in our classrooms. Like there is a price of entry. People have to become, I mean, Kurt Frankum talks about this actually. And he talked about this when we interviewed him on our podcast here. And he talked about priming the pump and how you have to go in and just ask some like almost stupid questions. Just get people talking so that they're comfortable talking. And I think there's part of that. You have to get people, you have to start with popcorn comments a little bit. Right. Maybe you're like, okay, we're making progress. And you know you're making progress because of the type of, you know, comments that you get as things progress.
Right.
But people don't just lead out of the gate with, let me share my soul.
Right. So are popcorn comments bad?
No, I would say no.
Right.
Yeah.
I completely agree with you.
Don't settle for that.
Right. If that's all you have the whole time, maybe we could do better next time. Yeah.
Oh, maybe, yeah, maybe not... that was too dramatic. Maybe
I don't think so. Because that comment of wah-wah is I've come here for this, expecting this, and I'm let down.
Well, that is true. That's true. Okay.
Right? And so when I go to a class, I want to feel the spirit. I want to be uplifted. And and then wah-wah, right?
Yeah.
However, here's what I see sometimes. I see that wah-wah happens so much that we get, that's an actual term now, Julie.
Actual term now. We're using it like popcorn comments. I mean, both of them, they like become part of our vocabulary.
That's right. Wah-wah. Wah-wah. Right, right. So that wah-wahs happen so much that we get to it and that next time we go, that's what we expect.
Right.
And we don't, as participants, as learners, we don't try to go beyond that because we know it won't, or it doesn't matter if we do, or it's not a safe place. And so we, as a, which is really, okay, oh my goodness, my mind's gone. As a collective, if you have, let's say, a gospel doctorate class, right? You have a whole bunch of people, let's say 40 people in the class and a teacher, and they're expecting the wah-wahs, and then they get to the surface level and they're at the popcorn, they're going to keep it at the popcorn level no matter how much the teacher tries to take it beyond that.
Okay, I got to find this book that Kurt referenced. Oh, where is it? Culture.
Yes.
When we were talking about culture, there was a book that he mentioned. Oh, I can't remember who it was. And he talked about how this, in this book, she talks about how you invite people in and it's almost like you close the door and that you create this culture in that space.
Yes.
I want to find the name of the book. I'll find it.
Okay.
And how that's part of what we do by, if we settle for wah-wah, then people come in expecting wah-wah, doors closed. Well, that's all we're really going to get.
Right.
And so it's up to us to create a culture where dialogue is invited. It's respected. It's built like that you, and dialogue takes two. So I didn't even say that right. But like that there is this free flow of meaning that happens. Right. And that's the culture that you create. And therefore the culture will sustain itself.
Yes.
In continuing to do that.
Yes. Yes. But in a gospel doctorate class, again, you have 40 to one.
Right.
And that can almost dictate. But if you start focusing on the other, that culture can change. It absolutely can change. And it should change.
Right.
To whatever it is, for what's appropriate for your teaching, that's great. But it does need to change. But I have seen classes where they are just stuck. And I think even in the podcast, you talk about that happening. You went to a class. I don't remember if it's a Sunday school class or not, but you went to a class and you made a comment and it was like, I don't think people comment in this class. I think that's, I probably shouldn't have made a comment.
Yeah. It just felt, I felt dumb after.
That is so strange.
And I like was trying so hard to like formulate it in a way that would be understandable. And I thought about the comment. It wasn't like I was just spewing things out of my mouth. And so I was like, oh, afterwards a little bit. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. Body language was important to that.
Right.
So if you're just listening to this, just so you know, I did she a slumped. People face.
Yeah, the want face.
I felt dumb.
Yeah.
A want face. I felt really dumb, actually. So I mean, you just don't want to comment when that's the case.
Right. And that's the culture, but we need to bring it out of that culture. So the dialogue. Hey.
Let me pause you though, because I think some people might be listening to this and going, we've been in the same word for 40 years. that's been the culture in this ward for 40 years.
Mm-hmm.
And, mm-hmm. you know, or maybe it's a culture in a class that you attend.
Mm-hmm.
And you're going, I can't change that.
I'm not
going
to change that. Right.
Well, there's no way. I mean, especially if I'm not actually the teacher. And so what do you do if that isn't actually, like, do you know what I mean? What do you do?
Yeah.
How do you shift the culture?
Yep. Yep. Let me look at some of my notes.
Okay. I have a couple of thoughts on that too, but I think it might be another podcast.
So, okay. Like let me come back to that question in just a sec. Okay. Some of the other things that questions that I think are, that were really good for me to go through are what is the utilitarian value of a comment?
Okay.
And then I started realizing what is the value to the teacher compared to the participant? And I found that they're very different.
Totally. I would agree with that.
Right. And so I went, that was a really interesting exercise to go through.
You want to share some of it though? Because I think, okay. I think that could be interesting. Or were you planning to later? I don't want to derail you.
No, I can. Yeah. So the value from a teacher perspective, to recognize their thoughts and their position, where they're at, to recognize where the participants are at, to recognize not only where they're at, but do they get it? Are they picking up what you're putting down?
Yep. Understanding. Right. Gauge understanding.
To recognize what's important to them.
Mm.
Right. That's a different thought. Then to recognize, or to be able to connect with them. That comment, did that make it so that I am connecting with that person,
mm-hmm.
or with the class overall? From a participant side, value of the comments is to verbalize it so they can better understand it. Because sometimes we have this half-baked thing, kind of like this podcast, where we've got this half-baked thing, and as we verbalize, we're like, "Oh, that's of course, right?" It's a lot of discovery, but as I say it. Or the discovery of the application of how do I apply what I just learned. In fact, let me pull out Teaching in the Savior's Way, page 23. It says, listen to those who teach, allow them to ask questions. So that's another purpose for participants, is to ask more questions, right?
Yeah.
Listen to those who teach, allow them to ask questions, encourage them to make connections between the Savior's teaching and their own lives, which is really what we're trying to do. So those comments can be to make connections between what you're teaching and what, it's also to, like you have mentioned in times past, to try to be seen, heard, and valued.
Yes.
It's that toe in the water. They're trying to get that right. But at the same time, I took a look at a list of difficult comments. I said, what makes a comment difficult in a classroom? It's too long.
Uh-huh.
It's off topic. There are too many. One person contributes too often.
Mm-hmm.
It's not building on the topic we're talking about. It's off, or it's not inviting the spirit. It's actually maybe putting off the spirit. Mm-hmm. It's repeating the same thing. Yep.
Like a contentious comment almost, yeah.
Yep. It's repeating what has already been said. It's a group therapy comment.
Mm-hmm.
Right? We've
talked about that.
We have talked about that. Or it's just interesting, but that's it. Or they're flexing.
Yeah, Kurt talked about that. Yeah.
they're flexing. They're trying to show how cool they are for what they know.
Right, and how much they know.
That's right. And name drop or...
Yeah.
My position, because of my position or my calling, I can say this and blah, 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 blah. But to go back to the question that you're asked, if I am one person and I'm in a class where it's popcorn all the time,
mm-hmm.
what can I do to help spread that? Now, interestingly enough, we may feel like we can't.
Mm-hmm.
I watched a video last week on game theory. I love learning a bit about game theory. And one of the, it went through this whole thing and it was actually pretty incredible. I think everyone should be watching what should watch this. But in the end, what it said is that there could be a whole bunch of negative people. If you've got one positive person, it can spread. Right. And within this whole theory, and it can spread and it can affect the whole thing. So I would say, don't give up. I would say, be vulnerable, stick your toe in the water again and again and again and again, and say, this is the level I want to get to. I want to get here. Mm-hmm. And I'm willing to be vulnerable to do that. And that may hurt a little bit. Totally get it. But it's worth it to get to that level.
I've been in classes where people have done that, and I've also attempted to do that myself, and it can shift the entire discussion. Yes. One person, Stephen Covey used to talk about that as being a trim tab. It's this trim tab is a small rudder that turns the big rudder that turns the whole ship. And so you can be a trim tab in those classes to actually help shift the culture. And then one of the quotes that I actually have on my wall just right up here is, be a light, not a judge, be a model, not a critic. And so there's, we're not really an excuse for sitting in a classroom criticizing the teacher for not creating the type of culture that you want and not creating, you know, an opportunity for authentic dialogue if you don't actually try and model authentic dialogue in response.
Yes. I love that. I think I need that. I'm going to come steal that from you, from your house.
You need a ladder because it's up really high. I can come prepared if you're going to steal it.
I can jump.
Legitimately, Kevin, like, I have so many things that I wrote down. I don't know if you noticed, I was not making eye contact with you for a lot of that because I just took a lot of notes. And as you were talking about these purposes, did you finish your kind of lists? Like, this is one where I would go back and listen and pause. So I make sure I wrote everything down. Did you finish your lists, or am I interrupting you?
I just have one more.
Okay. I want to hear it.
Actually, two more.
Let's hear it. And is this under the purpose of a comment for a learner or for the teacher, or maybe problems with comments?
For a learner.
Because those are the three things.
Yeah.
For a learner. Okay.
A learner. Questions to judge. Questions that I could ask myself to know. Let me do this. Questions they ask to judge their next comment. That's what I'm trying to get at. So if I'm a learner, how do I judge what I'm about to say? How do I judge that to know whether it's worth it to say it or not?
Oh, like toe in the water.
Yes. Well, okay. Well, kind of. It can be that. But if I'm going to give a comment as a learner, I should probably judge first whether that comment is even worthy to be said. Right. I know that makes it kind of harsh, but will it even help in the context that we're going to say? So, for example,
about evaluating your question, basically
evaluating my comment that I might give as a learner. Yeah.
Yeah. Evaluating
before I even say it. Okay. Am I sincere? Does it help the discussion move forward? Does it bring the spirit in? Those are just three quick things I thought of that, you know, am I sincere? Is it moving it forward? Does it bring the spirit in? But really, I think the kind of the crux of it is one thing that you said and one thing that Kurt said, kind of in, and I don't know that you were even wrapping it up about comments in your, because again, for those of you listening, if you haven't listened to that, you need to go back and listen to the whole thing, but especially focus on the comment piece, I think. Kurt said, the purpose, he was kind of wrapping it up in a way. He said the purpose or the focus of a comment is to witness of the transformational power of the Savior Jesus Christ in your life as it pertains to the doctrines we are discussing. Right. And then you added that you noticed that the most powerful comments are almost always tied to something they've experienced.
Yeah. Yeah.
So spot on. And mm-hmm. So if I'm a learner and I want to give a comment, I next time will be thinking of these things. Is it helping us come closer to our Savior? And am I being genuine about this? Am I flexing? Or if so, it's out. It's gone. I don't care how cool it is. It's out. Yeah. I need to make sure that I am helping move the discussion forward closer to the Savior, to having the Spirit be there. And dip my toe in the water and really say, okay, I'm going to be a little bit vulnerable here. Here's something that I'm struggling with or that I can testify of, but I don't know it all. It's kind of like, you know, do you believe? Yes. Help my unbelief kind of thing. Right. Yeah. I want to continue with my unbelief, but show what I do believe at least. So those are the different things that I wrote down that I was thinking of, but mind blowing to me.
You know, it's so interesting. When you were saying that, it made me think of something that I do and have done for years. And it's never actually been, I've never really brought it into my consciousness, but I notice it almost every time. When I'm sitting in a class and I have a comment, I think I never knew that this is what I was doing, but I think I check in with the spirit. I know that sounds so weird, but like I literally will think of the comment and then I'll pause and if I forget the comment, I'm like, oh, I'm not supposed to make that comment. Or if it is still crystal clear in my mind when it's appropriate to raise my hand, because I'm not going to raise my hand and interrupt, right? Raising your hand is like, say, interrupting. Right. And so I'm not going to raise my hand and interrupt. So I wait for them to finish. And if the comment is still right there in my brain, then I'm like, okay, I think the spirit is like kind of given the okay, if you will. And so I do think that there is a little bit of an opportunity to really, as a learner, seek the spirit in the comments that we're choosing to make to see whether they're going to be really authentic, sincere comments and whether they're coming from a place of humility and whether they're going to move the discussion forward.
That's great. I've never really thought of that before. To check in with the spirit.
I didn't even know that's what I was doing, but I have noticed when I've gone to make a comment that sometimes it will like fall out of my brain. Well, I mean, maybe a stupor of thought, right? I mean, I don't know. I'm giving it kind of a cliche label, but I do feel like there is a little bit of kind of a check-in that mentally I didn't even, like I say, bring it into my consciousness until right this second.
That's interesting.
It's a thought.
I love insights like that. I love when we realize, oh, I've been doing this all along and I had no idea that it was actually going on in my brain.
I know, it just happens. I have a really like hyperactive brain sometimes though.
Thank you for having
me. There's things running around that we shouldn't talk about. Just little bugs. Sorry. Kevin, I have to say something really quickly. Like as I look at the notes that I just took on today's conversation. I know that this is going to create more work for you, but I wonder if it would be possible to put in our show notes some of these lists, because I think that they're excellent.
Okay. Yeah, I can do that. I can type these
out. Yeah, I really like them. And I'm processing on several of them. Like when you were talking about the purpose from the place of a teacher, can I just share a couple really quick thoughts?
Yes.
I know we're wrapping up, but just a couple quick thoughts. When you talk about gauging where they are in terms of their understanding, I think that this is especially important for us to do with youth or when we're teaching primary, when we're teaching the youth, because sometimes you talk right past them.
Right.
And so not only are you gauging their understanding, but also you made the point about gauging what is resonating with them, what's of interest, what's important to them. I have had this happen before where somebody will like kind of glean on to one piece of something that I've said. And when they say it back to me, I'm like, that's not the point I hoped you'd get.
Right.
And it's so prideful. Do you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Because what that is actually instructive to us in terms of what is important to them. Mm-hmm. One of the podcasts that I listened to brought up that a strategy when you kind of are talking about something to get at what the spirit is communicating with other people is to literally just ask the question, what stands out to you? And you can say that because the things that are standing out to them are likely the things that the spirit is trying to teach them. So you could read the same scripture and everybody in the class would have something different to say about that. And so their comments are really a reflection of what the spirit is communicating to them. And we need to honor that.
I like right? that. Yes.
And then the other thing, the connection point, they can either, as a teacher, they are a way to connect with people. And we can blow that like that. Yes, they are a way to connect, but we might actually end up accidentally disconnecting with them.
Right.
And then I was thinking about one more thing and I think it kind of halfway fell out of my brain. Hold on, a way to connect. So when you first brought this topic up and you were like, why would we even make comments? I thought, because we don't think we know it all. Comments, dialogue comments, create synergy. And synergy is, you know, the whole being greater than the sum of its parts. Each individual by themselves does not have all the answers, right? And the beauty of it is that we can, through, by adding to a shared pool of meaning, everybody grows, everybody's knowledge, understanding, perspective expands. And so it really is a synergistic experience when you invite dialogue versus lecture.
Yeah, that's exactly where I was going. Is that you're explaining dialogue. Yeah. I mean, that's a whole thing about dialogue. So again, are we looking, going back to the beginning, are we thinking of these as comments that I am a teacher and you will give a comment and we will move on? Or are we thinking about this as a dialogue where we have to create a safe space, where we want the spirit to be there, where we are going to learn not just from me, but from each other at the same time, right? And that's synergy. That's what you're talking about. That's it.
Totally.
Yes. Yep. Oh. And I'm not done thinking about this. I need to keep going with this because there's so much here. And I think we've only scratched the surface in this discussion.
I would agree. TBC, to be continued.
Okay, we shall. Thank you, Julie. This is great. So if you would, like, share, subscribe, take this and use it in use it as a barometer. If you just take one point that we talked about that you felt most helpful for you, and go use it when you're teaching, when you're discussing, when you have those times with your children, when you have that time with your spouse, when you are counseling someone, for those in leadership, when you're counseling someone or just with a friend or even someone investigating the church. Do that and really focus on the comments and try to make it those deeper level comments. Oh, so much there. Thanks, Julie. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
Until next time, everyone.
Bye. Take care.